Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and as always on this program, the listener lines are wide open for you at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition. If you have a Bible question, or if there's something you're dealing with, some particular struggle you're going through in life, well, we would love to hear from you right now. We'll discuss it with you on Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to remind our listeners, before we get into the content of the program today, about our resource for January. It is a devotional, a 30-day devotional, on the person of Jesus Christ.
He's a good guy.
Yes, yes, he is. And he's more than a good guy. I mean, he is the great I Am. He is our Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This is who Jesus is. And as we know him and grow in our knowledge of him, that's when we experience transformation. You know, Bob, one of the stories I wrote about in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace was getting to know my dad growing up. So when I was in first grade, our teacher had a little ice-breaking question for all of us, and it was, what does your dad do? Mm-hmm. Well, they went around the room, finally got to me, and I stood up and said, my dad sleeps all the time. And at that point, I didn't really know dad that well. I just knew he was my dad. There's the man that I call dad.
Yeah.
But at that time, he was going to school full-time at a university in Atlanta. He was working two jobs. And so when he had a little bit of time in between, he took a nap. And that's usually when I saw him. So this worried my teacher just something awful. So she had to pick up the phone and call my mom and say, hey, tell me a little bit about the family life and what's going on. And oh, man, it made mom so mad that all I could say about dad is that he slept a lot. Well, as I grew older, I got to know dad. I got to know kind of his faithfulness as a human being, the integrity in which he conducted himself, the fact that he didn't like peanut butter or iced tea or the song The 12 Days of Christmas. There was a lot of things that I learned about dad. I learned from him what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church. I've never seen anybody love a person like my dad loved my mom. Yeah. I mean, it was just unbelievable to see that up close and personal, and just the tenderness and care that he provided for her. So I learned so much from dad as I got to know him, and he started to rub off on me. And when people would say, hey, you're like your dad, that was the greatest compliment I ever could get.
Sure.
Well, it was a part of that relationship. Dad's character, his values started to become my character and my values just through the relationship that we had one with another. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same as it is with God. As we grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, we're going to see transformation take place in our life. His characteristics are going to become our characteristics, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about that transformation. So we don't need to underestimate the power and the change that can take place inside of us as we grow in our knowledge of Christ. So we have this 30-day devotional. We want to put it in your hands. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And as you go through this journey and look at all the different passages that we've laid out and start to think through it and contemplate it, I think after that 30 days, you're going to come and say, wow, I know Jesus even better than I did before, and he's making a difference in my life.
It's a great opportunity to take a deep dive into the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody. We hope that if you have not yet made your contribution to the support of Basic Gospel in the month of January, that you'll do that. And you can do it right now by going online to basicgospel.net. Click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. You kind of stole my thunder, so I'm just going to go ahead and give the telephone number again and turn it over to you.
Well, you could do that.
844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Yes, we do. And before we get to our phone lines, and we have a couple of callers waiting for us, which is always fantastic, this passage, so the kind of the follow-up on the opening comments is this, Hebrews 12:2, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So that is our end place, yeah, is with Jesus, wherever he is. That's where we're going to be. So he suffered, but he did so for the joy that was set before him. God highly exalted him and seated him at the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going to go as well. So as life kind of comes at us, as trials and tribulations come at us, here's the way we live, with our eyes fully focused on Jesus Christ, not the circumstances. If we get our eyes on the circumstances, we're going to fall underneath the waves of those circumstances. But Jesus can lift us up over those again. But why not just keep our eyes on Jesus to begin with? That's the encouragement of the Word of God. And certainly, this isn't talking about, visualizing a picture of Jesus or looking at a picture, some painter's, vision of what Jesus might have looked like. This is looking at what the Bible has to say about Jesus, keeping that front and center as far as our living is concerned. So let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We want to be able to go through all of life circumstances trusting him. As we keep our eyes on him, growing in our knowledge of him, we're going to see us responding to the circumstances of life with an attitude of faith.
With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and once again, I'm going to give that phone number, a couple of calls already on the screen, but we have room for you right now. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and start in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and our friend Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, my friends, or good evening. It's always good to hear from you all, because you do such an excellent job.
Hey, Andrew.
I just want to compliment. Hey, thank you, Bob. I just want to compliment you on what you said Thursday, the 21st, the way you put things together about the transfer of power. And I was just thinking, too, the way Jesus, had to deal with Satan in Matthew, because, Satan came after him. And then if he came after Jesus, he's going to come after us. But then I like what you said Sunday, where you put in cut about the Galatians, how they were so easily deceived. But then you took my thunder, because what you did with Hebrews today, you put it all together, because what we have to do as Christian people is focus on Christ. But see, it's so easy to get off focus, and that's what happens when we start looking at the world rather than looking at Christ. And that's what happens sometimes to so many people. And I just like the way you just make it so simple. I said, look, he done took my story.
Thank God. He does that sometimes, Andrew. He really does.
All the time.
Oh, my, Andrew. I think it's important for us to keep it simple as believers in Christ. I mean, God the Father simplified it for us in that he points us to Jesus, and he says, everything that you can know about me, everything that you need to know about me is contained in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So keep your eyes focused at him, what he's done, what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, and life will kind of work out. Life will kind of fall Amen. Into place for you. That doesn't mean that you're not going to go through hard times. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be concerned about what's going on in the world around you. It just means that you know that you're already connected to the solution, that your problem has already been solved by Jesus Christ, and he is offering himself to the world as well. And it just keeps things simple for each and every one of us.
Praise God. Thank you all so much for all the work that you do. Praise God. Both y'all, all y'all, your whole ministry. Thank God.
Well, thank you.
Blessings help you continue to do as well as you do. I know you will, because God got you.
Amen. There you go, Andrew.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you.
Thank you so much. Always good to hear from you. Yeah. You call anytime, my friend. Well, let's keep it going. Let's go to Louisville and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this. I've got two. What's a vessel and what does radical mean?
Okay, well, a vessel in the Word of God would be you and me. We're vessels, aren't we? We are vessels of the Holy Spirit. So, Mary Jo, when you, when you accepted Jesus Christ, when you received Jesus by faith, he sent the Spirit to take up residence in you. So now you're a vessel for the Holy Spirit. He lives in you, and he's going to live his life through you. So that's a very cool thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the word radical is is something that means far-reaching or thorough or a complete change, either politically or socially or that sort of thing. So that's what radical means. So when you came to Christ, there was a radical change in you, a thorough change in you. You went from death to life. You had a heart that was unbelieving, that was hostile toward God, but now you have a heart that is affectionate toward God. It's a new heart. It's a believing heart. So there was a radical change that was brought about in you by the power of the gospel.
Well, I accepted the Lord when I was 11, I think, and then I made my walk when I was 16. When I was a kid, did I have
a radical change, a transformation?
How about hostile to God? I wasn't hostile to God as a kid.
Well, you know, we all come into this world, as it says, dead in trespasses and sins. And it says we all come into this world by nature, children of wrath. Now, you may not have had an aggressive hostility toward God. Maybe you were just neutral in your thinking and that sort of thing. But when you were saved, that heart, that spirit of yours that was dead in trespasses and sins came alive to Christ Jesus. So that's what happened. You crossed over from death to life. That's the radical transformation that has occurred in you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mary Jo. Thank you. We certainly appreciate it. Bob, we have this question from Christina, who is watching us on YouTube today. She wants us to discuss spiritual warfare. And that's something that's important for all of us to understand and get our hands around.
Sure. Yeah.
And one, we have to realize that it's a real thing, that it's not something out of our imagination. It's not something that we're making up. We have spiritual forces of darkness that are out there in the world. And Paul says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Oftentimes we try to make the battle against other humans.
Right.
But the real battle is against the spiritual forces of darkness. Now, the spiritual forces of darkness with Satan at the lead, as far as those forces are concerned, they're always trying to inject lies into our situations. So we hear voices of accusation from those spiritual forces of darkness. I think that's the biggest scheme within that spiritual warfare. We're always being accused of something. That's just the way Satan wants to do it. That's how he's plotting against us. And he does it in such a way that when we entertain those voices of accusation, we start to wonder in our own lives, are we really saved? Have our sins really been forgiven? Has that one sin been forgiven? And then we start to doubt. We start to lose confidence in who we are in Christ Jesus. Well, what is the remedy to that? What is the solution to that? Well, the solution to that is truth. So Satan and the forces of darkness, they're going to traffic in error. They're going to bring error and lies and deception to our situations.
Yeah.
What is the remedy? What is the victory that we have in Christ? Well, it's the truth. The truth is that we have someone living in us who is greater than he who is in the world. We have somebody living in us who has already defeated Satan. Colossians 2, verses 10 through, I think, 15 or 16 is a really powerful passage that shows us exactly how Christ defeated Satan at the cross in nailing the law to the cross and rendering powerless Satan's lies and deceptions, those sort of things. So that's a good passage to look at. But as Paul talks about spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, he talks about armor. He talks about the helmet of salvation, the fact that we've been saved, the fact that because we've been justified by faith, we're at peace with God. That's the very thing that guards our minds, that guards our thinking. We have the breastplate of righteousness. That's the very thing that fends off the fiery darts that Satan fires our ways. Now, what are those darts filled with? Accusations. The breastplate of righteousness helps us stand where we need to stand in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Right. We have the belt of truth, and that's something that protects us as well, keeps us all kind of together. And then we have the sword, and that's our offensive weapon. And so we can use the sword as light that is going to expel the darkness, as a point of truth that is going to move error out of our situation. So that's the armor of God, and that's how we engage in this spiritual warfare. So it's not in our strength. We're to be strong in the Lord, and as we're strong in the Lord, that's when we truly experience the victory that we have, not gain, but have in Christ Jesus.
Good stuff, Bob. Thank you. And Christina, thanks for reaching out. Good to hear from you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to let us know. And friends, once again, we extend our deepest thanks to each of you who stands with us in support of Basic Gospel every month and the message of grace in Jesus Christ. As I've said before, it gladdens our heart that so many of you have heard and believed and are living in this good news. And as Bob has said also, for each of you who donates during the month of January, we want to send you a copy of this brand new devotional. It's called Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional, and Bob has written it for you, friends, so be sure to request your copy when you make your contribution to support Basic Gospel in January. And again, you can do that at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Brett. Hi, Brett.
Hey, how are y'all?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Well, I managed to go about a month or so before a certain sin creeps back into my life. I don't want it. I don't want to have anything to do with it, but it seems like it's just there.
So how do you get rid of it? Is that what you're asking, or?
How do I get rid of it? I know that I'm saved. I hate it. It drives me crazy. I don't want to do, Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I want to do, I keep on doing.
Well, Brett, there's a couple of things that I think are very helpful in a discussion like that, and they're really foundational truths, and oftentimes they're truths that we overlook or haven't really fully embraced as far as kind of our reality as human beings who have been saved by grace through faith. So, Brett, the first thing is this. When you're saved, you cross over from death to life, and God sends his Spirit to take up residence in you. So once you were in the flesh, lost, dead, now you're in the Spirit, saved and fully alive. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the flesh. You're no longer in the flesh, but the flesh has left an imprint in the members of your body. So your those fleshly desires still hang on as far as the members of your body is concerned. So Paul says, you're going to have a conflict between the desires of the spirit and the desires of the flesh. Now, oftentimes, we're wanting to get rid of the desires of the flesh. We don't want to be hounded by those anymore. We don't want those to show up in our lives anymore. Well, that's not going to happen until we are absent from this body and present with the Lord, when we get a brand new body that is imperishable, immortal, like the resurrected body that Jesus got when he came out of that grave. So until then, we're going to have a conflict. Those desires of the flesh are going to be there. Now, when they're there, the Bible never tells us to try to get rid of them. The Bible never tells us to do anything as far as the desires of the flesh are concerned. The Bible simply tells us to walk by the Spirit. In other words, live out the desires of the Spirit. And the end result of that, Brett, is that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So say Bob Davis does something wrong to me. Now, my flesh is going to want to get even. That's the fleshly desire. The spiritual desire is to be reconciled, to forgive and to be reconciled. So if I reach out to Bob and we work this out and there's forgiveness and there's reconciliation, then that desire to get even has not been gratified. It was there because the fleshly desire, those fleshly desires don't go away, but it wasn't gratified. So we have to realize we're going to have fleshly desires in this life, but we don't have to give in to them, and we can give in to this new set of desires that God has put inside of us called spirit desires. And when we work those out in our day-to-day lives, the byproduct, the end result, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it makes sense, but how do you do it?
Well, it's part of the practice of, living in Christ. Okay. So one, if you give in to a desire of the flesh, you're going to have to realize that sin is still forgiven, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have forgiveness of sins. In Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, there's no condemnation. So we have to let that be our starting point. What is truth? The truth is that Jesus has already dealt with that sin. He dealt with it in the harshest way possible. He died in your place. So he took the punishment for that sin. And in Christ, there's no condemnation. So that's your starting point. And then based on that, you go, hey, Lord, you've put your spirit inside of me. You've put a new set of desires. Now give me some wisdom on how to handle this moving forward. So, Brett, if it's something some sexual desire, then there's some wise things that you can do. As Paul says, don't make any opportunity for the flesh. So be wise about how you go about your day-to-day life. But the whole thing gets back to what we said at the very beginning, Brett. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, let me do this, Brett. We're out of time. Let me put you on hold. I have a whole CD series and a booklet that I want to put in your hands that I think could be a big help to you, okay? You hang on.
Okay.
It's good to hear listeners calling in on the broadcast, and we will be back tomorrow, and we hope that if you have something you'd like to talk about, that you'll join us on the broadcast. Overnight, if you don't hear the live broadcast, you can leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. We would love to address your particular issue on tomorrow's edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Now for Bob Christopher and the minister team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.